From the Power Business Technology Toshiba Studios, KHTKAM Sacramento, KYMX HD2 Sacramento, the only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Sactown Sports.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Brendan Nunes in an hour. We still have ELO tickets. Jeff Lindsay-ello. Well, it sounded like I said Lindsay-ello, which is my sister's name. Also, I was just showing you guys the first 10 seconds of the new Beetlejuice trailer that came out yesterday. It's going to hit this September, just in time for the fall. Can I please hibernate until then?
Wow.
After the playoffs.
Okay, there you go.
Or play-in.
Yeah.
You know what? Yesterday, right before the tournament started, I was like, you know what? I don't think I know enough. I need to increase my knowledge. So you know what I did? I went to hoopobsession.com. Poked around.
Yeah.
You know what happened?
I
got smarter.
You got educated?
I went, and I was at the water cooler,
yeah,
which I guess is where people hang out.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, the amount of factoids I had at that point, just laying them out there. And the guy in charge of the whole thing is our dear friend who joins us right now. Bobby Brackets, we call him. Bob Gerald, good morning.
How are you guys?
Great.
Intact for the most part?
Yeah. Are you intact?
Yeah.
Well, you know, guys, how some people say they feel like $1 million?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I owe about $29.99.
Hey, look.
Can I
throw you, this is sort of a curveball, but it's really not a curveball. Before we get into, because we got plenty of time here with you, before we get into the whole, the bracketology and everything that happened and all that, I just got to ask you, because there's a team in Sacramento, I'm pretty sure you're familiar, the Sacramento Kings, playing the NBA, you're aware of them, you've watched a few games probably in your lifetime. As somebody that has as much foundational knowledge of this team as anybody on earth, do you know why they are so weird?
Man, that I wish I did. I actually have a couple theories, though. Shocker.
Yeah.
You know, one thing. Here's an old radio terminology. Remember day parting?
Yes.
With music. So the idea, for those of you out there in radio land,
love where this is going,
watching, was that certain songs fit better during, like, say the daytime, and they wouldn't play them at night, or maybe you play, if you remember WKRP in Cincinnati, you know, you got Venus Flytrap comes on later and he lays down the funk and stuff that they wouldn't play earlier in the day. And I kind of feel like that's what we do with Malik Monk. I feel like we day part Malik Monk, and if he's a hit and good enough to play late in games and in overtime and be the third best player on the team, which he is, then why don't we just start the darn games with the freaking guy? You know what I mean?
Hallelujah!
And you know, people will say it doesn't matter who starts. It's, you know, it's how much you play and whether you finish. But I'm just looking here. Monk averages 26.4 points per game. And what happened in the radio, just to tie it up, is that someone in research got smart at some point and said, you know what? If it's a hit at 10 p.m., maybe it's a hit at 10 a.m. too. And so they started, they're like, screw it. We'll play Tupac at 10 in the morning and see what happens. And they found out that, yes, a hit at 10 p.m. is a hit at 10 a.m., is a hit at 3 p.m. Let's play it as many times as we possibly can. And that's kind of where I'm at with this team. It's, you know, and here we are again. Herter goes down and, it, you know, here's another opportunity. I think, I don't know what it would take, an act of Congress for Malik Monk to start. I just don't get it personally.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Bobby, we've brought that up many times and we said, I mean, they literally have tried everyone but Malik.
Yeah. You, right. Me, Bob,
right.
Well, pretty much. And then there's right. Malik going, yeah. And by the way, he's doing interviews where he, as a free agent, is literally saying, yeah,
I kind of want to start.
I kind of want to start. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe start him.
That's what I think. 100%. So, and, you know, and maybe he should be up there in the 32 to 33 minutes per game. So I think part of it is that it's just maximizing the roster a little bit better. You know, that's what I'd like to see. I still think Sasha, you know, obviously he's had some problems and he clearly doesn't seem to be a guy that Mike Brown trusts a whole ton yet. Which maybe is understandable because, you know, he's new to the deal. But the numbers that he's put up per minute are better than Harrison Barnes offensively and defensively. And so he's another guy that I think should be in the rotation on a regular basis. So, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. And just one other thought just before we get to the – but even with all that, just the wildly up and down, like the quality wins are awesome.
Yes.
The horrific losses are terrible.
And you'd rather be this way than the opposite.
Yeah. You know. And just like last night, you know, everybody has them, Bobby, but like the list is really long now of bad, bad losses. Yeah.
And here's another shocker. I have a thought on that.
Yes.
And that is that Mike Brown's a little knee-jerk emotional. And I think sometimes I sit behind the bench, and so I see – you know, he hasn't done the quick timeout thing and maybe as much as he used to, but he still does it. And when he does it, I've seen Domas roll his eyes. I've seen Fox kind of look down and, you know, take a deep breath. Monk will just, you know, go right back at him. And so I think there's a little bit of that too. And it's obviously a delicate balance. I like Mike Brown as a coach. He's the best coach we've had here in a long time. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. But I do think that it's just one of his isms that maybe he could be a little bit more, let's trust the numbers, let's trust the, you know, let's trust the guys just a little bit more instead of being sometimes so knee-jerk where he gets ticked off at a guy, he pulls him out, and he puts in one of his defenders that can't shoot or is just isn't efficient. Yeah. I like Kessler Edwards. I like Davion Mitchell. I like Chris Duarte as much as the next guy, but none of those guys are efficient. They're just not efficient players. And so, you know, if there's anybody out there who plays craps, either of you guys play craps?
I played it twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Christopher Lodd plays craps.
I'm talking about the hardcore craps player here. So we're really dwindling the audience down here to 1%.
We're narrow casting. That's fine.
1% of our mathematicians out there. You don't throw your basic strategy in playing craps out the window just because you haven't hit a few numbers. It's not like, okay, I'm going to change everything up now and bet on the big six and the big eight, which are two of the stupidest bets you could ever make in your life just because it's not working right this second. You know, it's a little too much recency bias in Mike Brown's rotations for me. But I also get that, you know, a coach, and I think it's true, nobody knows the team better than the head coach. And, you know, he has to push those buttons. And maybe if he doesn't push those buttons, sometimes he doesn't get the best out of guys later on in the game. But I would like to see a little more consistency from that standpoint.
Well, and you saw it yesterday. In fact, the broadcast even mentioned that I think it was in the second half when the Wizards went on their next run. And I think the TV broadcast, it said something like, you know, Mike Brown really letting them play out there, trying to get them to figure it out. And Phil Jackson was famous with the Lakers, especially for not calling timeouts when the other team was on a run, letting them go, letting them get themselves out of it and not bailing them out. And it sounds like what you're saying is that we need to be somewhere in between Mike Brown's super quick timeout and Phil Jackson never call a timeout.
Yeah, and a little more like Lionel Hollins when he was the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. It was like clockwork with who he was going to sub. Every role was so clearly defined. And so I guess I'd like to see a little bit more of that on this team and defined in the right way. Not you know, we need more Sasha. Monk's got to play more minutes. We need a little less HB when he's not getting it done. And we need probably a lot less of Chris Duarte and some of the guys who just aren't that efficient.
Makes sense. Bob, so let's talk brackets. Dave and I were kind of a bigger picture item from yesterday, and maybe what your thought philosophy-wise on a team like Kentucky. Coach Cal, a great recruiter. Plenty of NBA legends have come through there, and probably more will continue as long as he's there. But we're seeing the change in the college game where experienced teams are literally doing damage. Can a power program like that that continually gets these one and done guys be successful, like tournament successful in these days?
You know, I don't know. I think right now we're at the maximum of the older age guys because we still have the COVID players who were granted an extra year. So I think this is probably the peak of the as old as college basketball is going to get. You're going to lose some of those guys and get back to, you know, 4 or 5 year guys instead of 5 and 6 year guys. So I think that's one aspect of it. But I do agree, and I think, Jason, you brought this up. Jay Wright, you know, talked right after the Kentucky loss about, you know, he just said point blank, those days are over. The days of trying to win with freshmen and 19-year-olds, you know, it's gone. And so I think there's a chance that that he's probably right, and that is the situation now. It's just changed. I mean, with the transfer portal, it's more about recruiting and finding guys who have succeeded at smaller schools and getting them into your program and making it happen that way. You know, some of these teams with their 22 and 23 and 24-year-olds, they mirror more, you know, European basketball teams or G League teams or something like that than they do, you know, a young college basketball team. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes forward. And of course, Kentucky's they're the face of that, right? Mm-hmm. Of that brand of playing the young guys. And yesterday it didn't work out for him. And I have a buddy who hadn't seen a lot of Reed Shepherd and watched yesterday and was just like, that guy's a first round pick. You know, you have him in the lottery. And yeah, based on yesterday's game, he looked awful. But the thing is, I've seen that kid play so much that I'm not worried about him. And, you know, I think he's going to be a good pro. I think Robert Dillingham's going to be a good pro. But today, as a 19-year-old, they're not ready to play with the 24 and 23-year-old guys, or at least compete for wins on this stage.
There's a lot of noise, Bob, about Jordan Calipari. Jason and I were just having this conversation an hour ago, the buyouts and the low to mid 30 millions. He's got a lifetime deal, air quotes, but there's never a lifetime deal. A lot of noise about the boosters getting together and mutually parting ways. Do you think Coach Cal has run his course at Kentucky?
I'm going to say no. Again, recency bias. I think, you know, I just think if you're really thinking correctly, the guy's done so much. He's the face of that team, and they've been good. He just maybe needs to tweak it a little bit. And like I said, I think this year is the peak of the old guys. And maybe it'll return a little bit more to normal. But it'd be great, you know, it's fantasy land and it'll never happen, but it'd be great if Shepherd and Dillingham were both like, hey, we're not going to go to the NBA. We're going to run it back next year. And then, you know, with another year of experience, they get a chance to do something and prove themselves a little bit better.
Real quick, sorry, I just want to follow up to your guys' point, by the way. I'm just looking at some numbers here. Cal is now 1-4 in his past 5 NCAA tournament games. That matches the worst 5-game span in the tournament. He was asked about changes, and he said, quote, I've done this with young teams my whole career. It's going to be hard for me to change that because we've helped so many young people and their families. I don't see myself saying, okay, we're not going to recruit freshmen, but of Kentucky's 15 rostered players, 8 were freshmen, 3 were sophomores. Oakland had 1 freshman, a pair of redshirt freshmen, and 5 of the Grizzlies players were either seniors or graduate transfers. Mm-hmm. So that kind of lays down your guys' point. Kentucky may actually have the longest, the most consistent level of long-term most talented teams. We've gone over the NBA list, but when it comes to that year in March Madness, the Diaper Dandies or have the diapers on, Jason, and that's why we've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, you guys have played ball. We used to play, I had a group of buddies, in the Asian leagues, and we would play at the Kaikon at the Buddhist church on Sundays. And it would be, this is right after high school, me and a bunch of guys who were right about 19 or 20 years old. We thought we were bad. And we'd go in there and routinely get waxed by the old guys. You know, there was always the OGs who were 28 to 35, some of them pushing 40. and they knew how to play basketball. They set screens and they made cuts and they played every possession of defense. Whereas we were out there, you know, maybe a little bit more worried about what shoes we had on and, and, you know, how many three pointers we could make. So it just is what it is. It's, you know, experience wins basketball games.
Yeah. Talk with Bob Gerald here, of course, hoopobsession.com website. You can get a lot of different stuff, a lot of NBA stuff, lottery stuff, guys that Bob watches in college. So you watched day one. I know when we talked the other day, you were anxious to see some of the teams that maybe you hadn't had a chance to see. Besides the big one with Oakland beating Kentucky, what else stood out to you, whether it was individually or team-wise, from round one, day one yesterday?
I thought Gonzaga looked really sharp yesterday. I think people may be sleeping on them just a little bit. They've got some depth, and they've got a Nebhart running the point, which is always a good thing. You know, he's such a heady, smart player. So I thought Gonzaga looked good. I felt really bad for Samford, on their deal. They came back, and that was a clean block shot there at the end of the game. And hopefully, you know, maybe college needs to adopt the NBA's rule of having a coach's challenge or something like that, you know, maybe one a half or something. But I also would say those play-in games, the first couple nights, man, I had a hard time keeping up with them in real time. You know, I got to the point where between the going to the monitor for reviews, which seemed to take forever, and then the commercial breaks are just, how many Capital One? How much money do you think Capital One wastes on those commercials?
Yeah.
My God. Seriously. You know how much it has to cost to pay Sam Jackson and Charles Barkley and the girl, Jen, whoever that Jen is.
Yeah.
And,
Jennifer Garner, Jim Nance.
Yeah, dude, how much money are they wasting on that stuff? And every year, and the commercials are dumb as all. They're almost as dumb as the Sacramento International Airport commercials.
That's might be
the worst commercials in the history, next to Plexiderm or whatever it is that I see on.
Bobby, that's my big bit too. Let's get past the commercials themselves. But the thing I always bring up is, like, is somebody sitting around like, you know, I need to fly somewhere? Oh, the airport. They've got an airport.
I think I'll go to SAC Executive. Right?
Like, they don't have,
I didn't know.
I had no idea. Oh, look, it's a damn bunny. Yeah. Oh, this is great. I'm going. Like, I do not understand. They should just put the money in a pile and set it on fire.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like Capital One.
When we look at today's matchups, we get to see Houston. We get to see Purdue. We get to see UConn. Any games on the slate today that you're looking at? What are your upset alert game or games?
Well, Utah State and TCU is one I'm really looking forward to, because I've been vocal about liking Utah State, but then the more I looked at TCU, I'm like, you know what? They're really not that bad.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that'll shake out. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, too. You know, a lot of people really seem to like Grand Canyon. I thought St. Mary's was a pretty decent team all year. So looking forward to that one. The New Mexico Clemson. You know, I think everybody thinks New Mexico – is a popular choice, and they're a good team. But I'm telling you, I told you guys the other day, Clemson has a couple of bigs in PJ Hall and Ian Shefflin that are going to give any team a little bit of a problem. I'm just not sure Clemson has the guards to get it done, but those will be interesting. And then, of course, you know, you've got to be on Purdue watch. You've got to make sure that they get it done. And if you haven't seen Zach Edey play, he's a fun watch. I mean, when he first came into college basketball, he was overweight and probably slower than Papa Giannis. And then that's saying something.
Wow.
And then he slimmed down a little bit, got in better shape. He's an immovable force down there. I mean, he's got tree trunks for legs, 7'4", 300 pounds of man.
Bobby, they say he might, like, legitimately, I forget who the coach was, said he's not 7'4" anymore.
He's growing.
He's grown.
Wow.
Yeah, which is insane if that's true.
Yeah, so he's an interesting guy, and I'm pro Zach Edey. I think he's going to be all right in the NBA even, and so I'm interested to see what he's going to do today. I think that'll be a fun game. James Madison is another team that, just looking at the numbers, and I know they've got a couple of studs. So, you know, that'll be fun because I thought Wisconsin was a pretty decent team this season. So a lot of good stuff to look forward to. And then I mentioned playing basketball at the KaiCon there at the Buddhist church. And so we got to talk a little bit about Kisei Tominaga from Nebraska.
Yes.
The Japanese born player who's going to play today. He's not an NBA player. I'm not even sure he's a G League player, but what he can really do is shoot the basketball. And so if they can get him some open looks, he's probably going to knock them down. And when was the last time Nebraska basketball was really anything? Fred Hoiberg is their coach. The former NBA player, Fred's son, plays on the team. And they've got the little Japanese guy, Tominaga, who's just – he's a fun watch. So
yes.
That's the kind of team that if they could, you know, win today and maybe make a little run, I think they'll capture the imagination of the fans.
You brought up Zach Edey. You think he'll be a good – is he a lottery guy? Where do you think he goes in the draft?
I think he's late lottery to me, but, you know – that some of that is so subjective. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So many NBA teams want to bank on what these guys are going to be on in 5 years versus what they are now. And so, you know, you got a guy like Cody Williams, who plays for Colorado. He's Jalen Williams' brother, Jalen Williams from OKC. And Cody, if you just look at him, if you were to just look at his highlights, you would say, oh, yeah, surefire lottery pick. But then when you watch him in a full game, you realize he kind of barely plays. He's not a real part of a focal point of their offense. And he's got a long way to go before, you know, he could be the Patrick Williams of this draft, a guy who looks like he's going to get it done and is picked in the top five or something like that. But then 4 years into his career, he's still not getting it done. So, you know, potential will get a lot of guys fired. You know, that's just the truth. So, but to get back to your point about Zach Edey, I think he's going to be a solid player. I mean, you know, I saw Zach Edey in college and let's just say I saw Alex Lynn play in college too. And there's no debate about who is the far superior basketball player. So, and it's Zach Edey. It's not Alex Lynn Newsbreak. So, you know, I think Zach Edey's going to be a solid center. He's just too efficient, too much of a rebounder. Too hard to move, to miss, in my opinion.
You know, Bob, and as we talked to Bob Gerald, don't forget as well, please, hoopsobsession.com for all the things that will make you smart about basketball. We should bring you into this conversation, Jason. I had a couple weeks ago leading up to the tournament. When you look at the men's college players of the year, and I'm just cherry picking here, but just since 2013, Trey Burke, Doug McDermott, Frank Kaminsky, Frank Mason III, Obi Toppin, Luca Garza, and of course, Zach Edey last year. And yes, there's an Anthony Davis and a Zion Williamson every 6-7 years. But we've seen, you know, going all the way back to guys like Sean May, former King, you've seen these guys, the Tyler Hansbrough of the world, that just eat it up in the NBA, in college basketball. And then more often than not are journeymen at best. In the NBA, which gives me a ton of respect for scouts. But what do you think, what is the easiest explanation for why there's generally a huge drop-off from NCAA success to the NBA?
Man, I wish I had the right answer and a quick answer for you.
Is it age, though? I
think it's some of it. You know, like, if you can't get it done as a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old, and then, you know, it takes you to, like, Terrence Shannon from Illinois, he'll be 24 when the NBA season starts next year. Now, this guy scored 40 points in a game, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, a game that mattered. And he's a player. Like, when you watch him play, he has speed, he has the athleticism, he's improved as a three-point shooter. But he's going to be 24 years old when the NBA season starts. And so it'll be interesting to see where he gets drafted and whether or not he kind of falls into, like you were saying, Dave, the Tyler Hansbroughs or, you know, some of these guys that were successful. Luka Garza, I think it was a little easier, like with a guy like Garza, you could look at him and just say,
yeah,
hey, he's not that athletic, great college player. But, you know, physically he's not going to be any different or stand out in the way like a Zach Edey. I think Zach Edey, you know, how many 7-foot-4 guys are there in the NBA that can shoot 61% from, from close to the basket and just not be moved. So I think there's a better chance for a guy like Zach Edey than there is for some of these other guys that we've seen in the past who have had great college careers and then go on, like, a, you know, Frank Mason. That's still one that's kind of puzzling to me. I actually watched him earlier this year. He's playing on a team in Europe, and I was happy to see him looking good. Like, the last time I saw Frank Mason play, it was at a G League showcase game in Las Vegas, and he was overweight and out of shape. And I just thought, oh man, Frank, what are you doing? And now when I saw him this year, he's back in shape and looking good and looks like he's, you know, refound himself, and, you know, maybe someday he'll make his way back into the NBA. But, you know, he never was a super dynamic guy, didn't have the physical gifts. He didn't have great length or great size or anything like that. And so, you know, he was what he was. He was a second round pick that didn't make it, even though we all thought, or at least a fair share of us here in Sacramento, yeah, were like, yeah, let's get Frank Mason. Let's go. We're about to do, you know.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. So.
My son still has his jersey. That's an absolute fact. Bob Gerald,
yeah,
HoopObsession.com. Thank you so much. Great conversation,
yes,
both NBA and NCAA. And we will talk to you soon. Don't forget to go to HoopObsession.com. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys. We'll talk again on Monday, I believe.
Yep.
You got it. Take care. It's good stuff.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, we could have. A wide range.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, he's had every Kings game. Yeah. He knows, too. I mean, that's why it's good balance to talk to him right now.
You know, I also find myself talking to the people at Fire Wings as often as I can about these flavors they have and how original they are. Now, everyone has lemon pepper or garlic or, you know, buffalo. Got it. But the salt and pepper wings, you know, for a place that has peanut butter wings and Saigon Street, jerk chicken, you know, that type of... their salt and pepper wings are low-key underrated. And they're so simple and easy, salt and pepper wings. But my goodness. Ugh. 21 different flavors to choose from. Locally owned and operated. They soak the wings in buttermilk all night long. And that gives them that tender, tangy flavor and texture. It's brilliant. Breaded Malaysian curry, that's my jam. But find your own jam. Go to firewings.com. You can look at all the flavors right now. Make an order. Pick it up whenever you wish. Just in time for all the sports going on. So head on down to Fire Wings. Go to firewings.com. You tell me, good buddy, Carmichael Dave sent you. When we come back, we got a little post game from yet another bad loss. Don't forget ELO tickets coming up in the next hour as well. We'll take a break right back. You're home of the Kings, Halftime Sports.
Our first year as the radio home of the San Francisco 49ers is one we will never forget.
They're going to give it. No, it's a play action. Purdy going to roll left, throw for the end zone. Caught by George Kittle. He has the hat trick tonight, a career high. 3 touchdown catches for George. Touchdown! Francisco!
Congratulations to the 49ers on a terrific year, and thank you for so many wonderful memories.
Sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
Charlotte, Portland, the Nets, and the Kings. What do they all have in common? According to our friend Whitey Gleason, who you can hear with Kyle Draper every afternoon. Okay, you know. Well, they're the only teams in the NBA that have lost to both the Pistons and Wizards. Charlotte is 17-52. Portland is 19-50. The Nets are 26-43. The Kings are now 40-29.
Sad thing is there's probably a flip side one. I'm sure the Kings are one of the few to have beaten, you know.
Sure, yes.
Bucks, Nuggets, T-Wolves, you know, whatever. Thunder.
Yeah. Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder.
But last night was not the case.
Also, I was just about to say, by the way, the Kings are probably the only team to, I wonder how many teams have lost to Charlotte and Portland. They still got the Nets coming up.
True.
They could lose to them.
Yeah. And somehow, yeah, there's five teams below 20 wins.
Yes.
Charlotte lost to them. Portland lost to them. Detroit lost to them. Washington lost to them. The only one they didn't was San Antonio. They stole two of those
and
games.
You're 100% right, including that last one.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the Sacramento Kings have a better chance of advancing to the second round in the playoff with the 1-8 teams
probably
than they would the 8-8? Whatever the hell, 16 teams.
Would this mean they wouldn't win the lottery because they couldn't beat those teams?
Yeah, a couple of notes here. One last note about the NCAA tourney here. Since 84-85, when the field expanded to 64, there have been 2,784 instances of a Division I team losing at least 10 of its last 14 games to end the regular season. NC State is the only one of those to reach the round of 32 in the tournament that same year, and that's happening this year.
Wow.
I didn't even realize they lost that last
game. I didn't either.
Also, completely off topic, but I see these. I always want to bring them to you. Odds are maybe one of you has seen this, but the hat worn by Kevin McAllister in Home Alone, the hat worn by Macaulay Culkin's character, was at auction yesterday. Anyone want to guess what the knit cap went for at auction? This is his beanie in Home Alone, the original.
$5,000.
Jason Ross.
$3,500.
Well, let me do the math. That's $1,500. You guys are close. $81,000.
Cash grab.
I just want to throw it out there. That's like quadruple the price of Abraham Lincoln's hair.
How do we know that's really his hair?
Yeah, but you probably have Kevin McAllister's hair in that. Or Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin's hair. Well, who would you rather clone, Chris? Macaulay Culkin or Abe Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln never made Home Alone 2.
Good point.
That is a great point. Well, Macaulay Culkin never wore one of them steam pipe hats or whatever they're called.
We know that.
You know what? We don't. Hmm. Another bad loss last night. The Kings are now in eighth.
Yay.
And we got life without Kevin Huerter.
Yeah. You know, the thought everybody has, which, like, you want to avoid the play-in. I mean, I think bottom line, you want to. It also wouldn't be because we think of it in a negative way.
Yeah.
And the reason we think of it in a negative way is because of nights like last night. You have a bad night if you're in the 9-10. You have a bad night and you're in the 7-8 and have two bad nights, you're out. It also still could be rewarding that way. I don't want them to be in that, but you can still win.
You can.
And then you're a playoff team. It's just more stressful.
I was thinking about this last night. If the Kings could have the same record they do right now,
mm-hmm.
but you just kind of flip the script and they were the team that, you know, take away one or two of those Minnesota, Oklahoma City, et cetera, wins.
And take two of the bad away?
Yeah, like, would this weirdly be a more enjoyable season?
I don't know, because two doesn't feel like that's enough. Because they've had more than that in bad losses. And good wins, right?
Yeah, but and this is where I don't know if this is a Dave thing. Oh, like, I'm fully aware that when it comes to this team, I'm a little bit manic. I'm a little bit off sometimes. They're 40.
You are.
Yeah, I know. But this is a weird year.
They're 40-29.
Yeah.
They're
like I said yesterday, what, it's the ninth best season they've ever had.
Yes.
Doesn't feel like.
Jason.
Objectively, they are a good team.
Yes. Yes. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Chris sent me a picture of Macaulay Culkin and an Abe Lincoln hat. I have not enjoyed this season. There have been enjoyable parts of the season. But overall, if this season was a movie, it would be like...
walked out?
I would have stayed. Oh, my God. If this season so far was a movie, I totally have it. This would be 7 with Brad Pitt. Well-made. Entertaining. But in the end, I'm like, dude, what? I feel worse now than I did before I walked in. Speaking of Brad Pitt, Legends of the Fall. That's what this season is. Great movie. Wonderfully acted. I will never watch it again because in the end, everything sucks.
Wow, that was a really good analogy.
This is what this season has been like. There's quality. There's entertainment. Mm-hmm. We're sometimes a prisoner of expectations. You've done that before with movies where you went and you're like, this would be a great movie. I remember Mars Attacks. But like everyone was in that movie. Right. Oh my God.
What could go wrong?
That movie sucked the butt of all time butts.
Okay, that's just your opinion.
It is my opinion. Simone agrees?
No.
Yeah, she agrees that Mars Attacks sucked. Oh, she likes it?
We both like it.
Yeah, well, guess what? She picked South Carolina in the NCAA tournament. Oh, I'm just saying, though.
Cold-blooded.
I'm just saying.
Shameful performance.
Shameful.
I know where her bracket's going.
We'll take a
That's so mean, Dave.
I didn't mean that as mean.
The garbage.
I knew I was going to get cooked. I thought about calling out today.
That's not being mean, Simone. I love you. You know this. I'm just questioning your decision-making. For example,
Mars Attacks. It was a long shot.
It was. So was McNeese State. Yeah. We'll take a break. When we come back, who's hot? Well, speaking of who's not,
and
we'll recap 3 in the key, knock out a 3 in the key for the Magic as well coming up tomorrow. It's Dave, it's Jason, it's Chris for a lot, and Simone a little bit. We're right back. Sacktown Sports.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Wow, that was good. Jason had a very long hoos.
Yeah. What?
Who is hot?
Daniel Gafford?
Yeah, he is.
Gafford scored 24 points, going 10 of 11 from the field. All 10 baskets were dunks. He also became the 7th player to have 10 or more dunks in a game since 1996. If you're wondering, Shaquille O'Neal has done that feat 4 times.
It's a lot of dunks. I saw that list earlier. It showed a list of 10 people on there. I guess maybe not weirdly enough, but those teams are 8-2 in games where a guy has 10 dunks.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need.
Hey, play him next week.
But
twice.
I can't dunk.
Step your game up. Ryan is wondering if I would ever renounce my fandom for the Kings like I did for the Giants. I mean, it would take something non-basketball related. It would take something.
It almost happened.
With the Kings? Oh, well, what they moved. Yeah. If they moved, I would. Yeah, if they were in Seattle right now, I'd be rooting against them. They would be my most hated team. I don't know who I'd be rooting for.
Yeah.
Be an orphan. It's the thing that sucks the most about relocation. It's like.
And it's so stupid because they think of these teams like businesses, like, oh, well, they'll just become Golden State Warriors fans.
That's pretty much what did Rob Manfred say, commissioner? He said, well, there's still a Giants team down the road. It's not like there's not baseball around. It's like how.
It's not how it works.
It's not how it works. Sports, being a fan is not logical. Let's
read the room, dude.
Look at the Kings. Guys like you and me and so many listening have spent 30 years, 40 years almost, or 10 years, five, whatever, paying money, taking time out of our schedule to watch super rich people fail at basketball repeatedly, and we're in a sports abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And we voluntarily do it. We in most cases, not all, but in most cases, allow our tax dollars to supplement billionaires in bill. Imagine if like Frankie Johnson down the street needed a new McDonald's and he's like, I'm going to have to move this one to Rockland. If you don't build me a nice spank, I need the playland.
Right.
I need the ball pit. I need all of that. And you need to pay for that. And by the way, Big Macs are now going up $2.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be like, hey, Frankie, go jump in the lake. In sports, you're like, it sucks, but I'm still going.
Yeah. Dave, go jump in the lake.
Right. We voluntarily jump in the lake.
Yeah.
And look, I want to be careful here because religion's a serious thing, but I think that being a fan is a second cousin to religion, just in the sense that it's something that you have faith in,
right.
You are devoted to, you're going to be loyal to that regardless. Things terrible might happen, and you're still going to go down that same path. Sports don't make sense. So when you move a team, just the A's, for example, and if it happened to the Kings, you have this legion of people, and they're just supposed to pick up the pieces.
Right.
They're supposed to, I'm going to be a Giants fan, or the Raiders left. I'm going to be a Niner fan. That's not how it works. Again, go back, if you're, pick a religion. If you're Jewish and the synagogue moves to whatever, and there's not another one around, you're like, oh, I'm Catholic now. That's not how it works. You're devoted to something your whole life. If your family breaks up, unfortunately, and she or he takes the kids, and I'm like, well, sorry. I mean, look, I know that happens, but you're devoted. That's for life. It's a marriage, if you will. And unfortunately, this marriage,
it's rocky.
It's been a rocky road, and I ain't talking ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, Shane, who's not?
The Kings versus sub-300 teams.
Oh, sub-300.
Of the five teams in the NBA that have a winning percentage less than 300, the Kings have lost to four of them: the Wizards, Pistons, Hornets, and Portland Trailblazers. The sub-300 team that they did sweep, the San Antonio Spurs, the Kings needed a 7-0 run in the last minute to win.
I hate this team. I mean, I love them. I'm not mad.
By love them, you mean hate them?
This team is the ultimate I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed team. I'm just disappointed. Yeah.
It's not you. It actually is.
No, it is. It's you.
Yeah.
It's 100% you. You're better than this. You're better than this.
Doggone it.
People like you. Thank you, Stuart. Yeah. Three in the key. How did we do last night?
You know what? I was very complimentary of the trio yesterday because we were very good. Like the Kings were in Toronto.
Oh, I think we probably ate it.
We performed like the Kings did in D.C.
Stinky.
Yep, let's recap it.
Okay.
We asked the question, who would score the last basket for the Sacramento Kings? I think we all anticipated maybe a Kush win.
Yeah.
Comfy cozy. Dave, you said Kessler Edwards. I said Davion Mitchell. Chris said Chris Duarte. It was Keegan Murray for three to pull the Kings within five with 17 seconds to go.
Keegan
Murray. Dave, you put this category. You said, hey, what's the halftime lead going to be?
Yeah.
You said Kings by 9. I said Kings by 11. Chris said Kings by 6. So we didn't go too crazy, but we were all wrong.
Yeah.
Wizards by 2. At one point, they were up by 19 in the first half.
Good job, Chris. You were the closest to even want that
Woo!
Point.
Yeah. Then the random stat, Dave, you actually looked at the Wizards side of things, so you could have been successful here. You said Jordan Poole, 30 or more.
Yeah.
He had 14.
No, he didn't.
I said Keegan Murray would have a double-double and would be spotted clearly in the team photo afterwards. Well, neither of those things happened.
Yeah, they didn't even take a photo.
He had 16 points and just 2 rebounds. Well,
they should have taken a mugshot for committing a crime of lameness. Got him.
Lastly, Chris said Chris Duarte would have 3 or more threes. He had 1.
Hey.
So we were a whole lot of awful.
We're a lot of O for everything.
But we have a new one.
Nurko says on the chat, my 6-year-old son asked me if he could like the Lakers as well as the Kings. I said, hey, would you like me to like other women than your mother? He said, no. And he goes, okay, there's your answer. I like that. I like that a lot.
Good parenting right there.
What if he's just like, yeah, that's cool.
Dad's yeah, like, then you're, well, hey.
Can we ask your mom about this?
And you know if she
Sorry, has, honey, he gave me the pass.
He gave me permission.
Right.
Rerack John Tesh if you would. La, 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 la. Kings, Magic, this time, for real.
Yes.
Who the hell knows what's going to happen?
All right, category one, two guys drafted in the same class, Paolo and Keegan.
Paolo, Keegan.
Bah, 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 da, da, da. So we want their points, Dave. How much will Paolo Banchero score? How much will Keegan Murray score tomorrow?
33 for Paolo Banchero. We'll go with 11 for Keegan.
Okay. I'm going to have 29 and 16. Uh-huh. Chris?
24 and 19.
All righty. All right, this one, you might need to look up the Kings roster. If not, I will help you. This one's a little bit of a thinker. Which Kings college team will still be alive come Monday? So that means in the Sweet 16. I'll give you a few candidates. Oh. Harrison Barnes, North Carolina.
I'll take the Aaron Fox. Oh,
they're already out. Chris Duarte.
I'll take Malik Monk.
Chris Duarte, Oregon. Keon Ellis, Alabama. Hey, Jordan Ford, St. Mary's. Yeah, we mentioned the Kentucky guys are out. Sorry, Trey Lyles as well. Who else do we got? Oh, JaVale McGee. Sorry, Nevada.
Did you say Demontis Sabonis?
Not yet. Demontis Sabonis Gonzaga or Davion Mitchell Baylor.
So you got to pick one in there?
So you're going with Barnes, Duarte, Keon Ellis, Jordan Ford, Sabonis, or Davion?
You know what? Give me Demontis Sabonis. I know there's an easy answer in here. I'm avoiding it. I'll take Sabonis.
You're already halfway there.
I am already halfway.
You already got one win.
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to take Sabonis, Gonzaga. I'm going to take Davion and Baylor.
I'm going to take Jordan Ford.
You know what? Can I just say, I respect everybody for not going with the easy Harrison Barnes answer.
Yeah, they've good already
for,
won one. And
good for you
we
guys.
We didn't take the number one seed.
And I don't
one
think they're going to win the next one.
As we go to break.
Ooh. We have random stats still.
Oh, I'm sorry, random stat. I apologize. Random stats.
Random.
I don't know. Random stupid stats. Oh, we will see the, not the season debut, but we will see the return of Sasha Vezenkov.
Okay.
Against the Orlando Magics.
Anything you want to add to that or just leave it on Sahas?
He will make, Sahas Vezenkov will make one three-pointer.
Okay. With one three-pointer.
And I'm going to remember this on Monday when he makes his debut and doesn't have a three-pointer. And you pushed me into that.
Yes.
I learned it from watching you.
I'm going to say that we're going to have another overtime game with Orlando. We had a classic one here. I'm not saying who's winning. Just another overtime game.
Hey, wait a minute. Is this our first time back in Orlando since the Fox shot?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bit of a different team, but.
Chris?
I'm going to say that there's going to be a combined swing of 33 points.
Okay.
Wow. Any chance, because I believe the Kings are in Orlando today. Do you think there's any chance anyone on the team, anyone? It's like, end up Disney World. Need to clear my head.
No.
No, they're probably all golfing, right?
If that. Yeah, maybe.
Which player would be the Disney adult?
Easily yeah. Alex Lynn. Okay.
Alex
okay.
Lynn. I just wanted to get in a few rides.
Right. You see Keegan. I like the ears.
Yeah.
I want to see Alex Lynn now with the Mickey gloves.
We'll take a break.
Keegan with the big old turkey leg.
Just, oh, they're
that
so good.
That brontosaurus leg.
Oh, those are so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. Best value at Disney, because I think it's like $10.
I think De'Aaron would run alongside a roller coaster.
Just
run it.
Outrun the whole thing. Harrison Barnes is on a roller coaster just with his bifocals on, looking at the Wall Street
He's
Journal.
Actually in the management room. Like, what are your numbers looking like?
When we come back, Brandon Nunes, Sacktown Sports Kings insider, we'll let him figure this all this crap
he has
out.
The answers.
We'll just pepper him with questions. We'll salt him with questions. We'll do all that next.